Hey folks, here OS Reviews. You're watching our retro look back at the Motorola QA4, also known as the Evoque. This one came out in 2009, and it's interesting to see really how far design-wise Motorola has come. And the QA4 was unique at the time because it was kind of Motorola's first foray into the capacitive touchscreen arena after the success of the Motorola Razr. This was something that people kind of expected to do well because it was a very compelling design. However, ultimately the Evoque did not fare so well commercially just because the performance wasn't up to par. However, pedologically, this is still a very unique phone. That's because it uses Qualcomm's Brew operating system, but also runs on a proprietary platform that Motorola designed. So essentially, this phone, I think, is juggling back and forth between two operating systems at the same time using just one 200 megahertz Qualcomm chipset. And so this is very interesting because it's basically the same thing as, let's say, a modern day phone running on both, let's say, Windows Phone and Android at the same time without the need to boot into one specific platform at a time. So that's a pretty interesting thing that's going on. Otherwise, the design of the Evoque was also good because it kind of reminded me of the Aura, which is a much more expensive Motorola phone, and it has a very solid sliding mechanism that feels very sturdy and well constructed, and it seems like a premium device as opposed to a simple messaging phone which it was geared and designed for. It came on contract at a price of around $100 with a 2-year service agreement here in the States with Alcatel, so it was a low-cost phone, and it also was a CDMA phone as opposed to GSM quad band world roaming, so that was a limitation at the time. Otherwise, a pretty small form factor as well. So compared to something like, let's say, the HTC One M8, which has a 5-inch screen, it almost seems comical with that very small 2.8-inch screen. But at the time, that was fairly standard as far as touchscreen phones were concerned. And it used, again, a capacitive technology as opposed to resistive, which Motorola did use on some previous devices. So it's kind of a step in the modern direction, but it also wasn't a fully-fledged smartphone. Taking a closer look at the design now, there's a simple home key down below here. There's also access to a microphone. The bottom features a cover, which protects the micro USB for charging and syncing information. The entire phone is coated in a soft touch rubber material, which feels pretty nice to hold and grip. There is a volume rocker on the left hand edge, as well as a Lanyard cord on the very top. The side features a lock key, which allows you to prevent any accidental hits of the touchscreen when the phone is sitting in a pocket. And there's also a dedicated camera shutter key for the fixed focus 2-megapixel camera on the very back. There isn't a vanity mirror, there also isn't an LED flash, but there is a Motorola logo, and down below here there's a speaker. Underneath the cover there is just the battery, and that is basically it. So taking a look at the slider here, we have access to a pretty standard T9 style layout. It is backlit, and you have access to pretty large controls, even though they are very flush with the surface, so they are difficult to touch type by feel alone. However, again, the controls are very large, so you can type pretty quickly. Of course, inputting text in terms of the letters does become a bit more tedious because you have to tap on the numbers multiple times to get into the corresponding letter to type out a full message, which was disappointing at the time. But overall, it did work as far as for dialing quick numbers was concerned, but it did make the phone pretty tall when it was fully extended and elongated. The back here is also constructed out of metal, so again, it continues that very premium fit and finish in the hand. The menu here and the user interface is quite interesting to look at just because it breaks free from the monotony of Android and Windows phones we've been seeing lately, and it's an interesting look back. There is a dedicated drag down notification drawer, so to speak, and you can use that to turn the airplane mode on and off, alarm on or off, and also some basic things like that. There is built-in Bluetooth on here, but there isn't built-in Wi-Fi. There is also GPS on board, so a little bit limited in terms of connectivity options. You also have access to some multiple home screens, which have been populated by widgets that you can kind of remove if you don't want them, but you have to go into the settings by yourself and do that. There isn't a way to add more widgets, unfortunately, so you're stuck with the preset options, but you can turn those on or off. So taking a look here, you have access to a page with a quick Google search. There's another page for MySpace. It's kind of interesting they chose this as opposed to Twitter or Facebook. There's also one for a RSS feed reader for access to quick news. There's also an USA Today for top news stories, a YouTube client that you can launch to play back videos, and that worked pretty nicely, actually. There's also a quick weather client for checking up some basic weather information, and sliding again, you just go back into that main home screen. As you can see here, there is a significant amount of lag. That's probably because of the slow processor, coupled with the fact that they're juggling between two operating systems at the same time. But that was kind of the area where I think the Evoke fell short. But as you can see, the screen, for the most part, is actually pretty good for a phone that came out in 2009. Colors seem pretty bright and vibrant, as well saturated, and viewing angles are surprisingly good. I've seen much worse on modern-day phones. The key here, which takes you back home, is pretty responsive and clicky. Tapping it on the home screen also brings up the menu drawer, which shows you a full list of your applications. As you can see, there is that lag, but it does remind us of some Moto Blur phones that were operating on very early Android devices that Motorola came out with, like the Motorola Click, the Motorola Devour, that was released soon after this phone really failed to gain too much traction. So down below here, there is some dedicated application shortcuts to Facebook. There is a camcorder on board, as well as taking images with a camera, a photo viewer. You can play back your videos, images that you can store on a memory card as well, behind the back cover, a calculator, a calendar, a quick tip calculator, alarm clock. The speaker is very loud, so it does a good job of playing back some basic clips, even though it is rear-facing, so it does get muffled a little bit easily. And settings, Bluetooth, as well as help. So taking a look at settings first, you can see that it is modeled off of kind of what Android looks like, even though the phone is kind of sluggish and the screen is prone to accidental hits, but it does have haptic feedback, so it will vibrate like you're pressing on an actual key or a button. You can see here that you can tap on these controls, and the animations, as well as the design of the overall UI, is pretty modern looking, which is nice. Voice recognition is on here for quick launching into a shortcut or dialing someone's number, and that is kind of a very early voice recognition software on board here. Location-based services like GPS, phone updates, so on and so forth, browser options. This does have a full HTML-based web browser, so it does load the full web page of a site, even though the actual UI here is a bit clunky. It does load the full site as opposed to a mobile site. So you can go to the full New York Times to read any articles. Again, there's no Wi-Fi, so speeds are, again, pretty slow, but you do have the option on board. And that's basically the settings. So going back here and kind of dragging up to see the full system here, you have access to some other options like, again, that voice search, which is called VR here. There's also Radio Connect, MyCast. These are some bloatware services pre-installed by the manufacturer. Navigational services that cost a monthly fee. Ringtones, Alcatel Shop for downloading some very basic games. This phone does support some proprietary games that you can drag onto the unit. It does have support for some Linux and some Java games, so you can download those and drag them over using the micro USB port, and that will work. There's also a basic email client that tends to work decently, as well as, again, the aforementioned full HTML web browser, contacts list, recent calls, as well as text messages. So taking a look at the QWERTY keyboard next, that is another limitation of this phone because of the small screen size. If you wanted to use a virtual keyboard, that is where things got a little bit troublesome. There is an accelerometer, which works nicely for tilting the phone, as well as for gaming, doing some basic gaming, but you can see here that the keyboard experience is still a little bit cramped, even though it's taking up most of the screen just for that keyboard. And it does have predictive text entry, but it's a little bit slow. But not the worst experience we've seen, but there is that significant delay, as you saw there. It doesn't really seem to support multi-touch, so that's why after you press on something, it still continues, as opposed to pressing on two things simultaneously. But you can often use the hardware keyboard, which guaranteed a more accurate response, even though sometimes speeds were a bit slower. Taking a quick look at some other things that are left on here, such as the camera, it does a okay job, even though it's by no means a outstanding camera. Motorola has produced some very good cameras in the past, but this is not one of the best ones we've seen from them, and again, it's not the main focus of this phone. But you do have access to a pretty intuitive UI, which allows you to check out things like the exposure settings, the zoom settings, which digital zoom on here, and you can take a shot pretty easily. Shutter speeds are respectable, and I can take one just by pressing on the key there. Again, it's very loud, takes the image like so, and stores it into the top right-hand corner, which shows your current images off. You can play a slideshow, delete it, apply different filters and edits directly, and also share them directly into a social media network, email, Bluetooth, Mikasa, which works pretty nicely. And so you do have some more advanced settings than just a traditional dumb phone or traditional multimedia phone. So this is a step up and a step towards the more smartphone direction. And overall, decent camera, as far as 2 megapixels cameras are concerned, but nothing outstanding. And as far as call quality is concerned, again, it's basically a simple, no-frills experience. Reception was quite strong here in Seattle, and the sound quality was good, even though it's a little bit on the tinier side of the spectrum. But overall, it's a passable phone experience. And of course, the battery life on here is very good, because it doesn't take up too much power to operate as far as the display or, you know, intensive games are concerned. So you will be able to use this phone for about 4 to 5 days before you can recharge it again. And fully recharging the phone only takes about 2 hours to complete. So battery life is a highlight compared to modern day smartphones. So anyways, this has been an interesting look back at the Motorola Evoque. This was an interesting transition point for Motorola, where they kind of were stuck with the older phones like the Motorola Razr series, and they wanted to move into a more smartphone category. And we saw that with later Android devices that they brought out, like Android, which was massively successful. But before that was something that came out to market, they had the Motorola Evoque, a phone that's mostly forgotten now because it doesn't perform that well. However, it was still an interesting phone to look at, especially with that dual operating system that operated at the same time, which is, again, kind of crazy. Anyways, guys, thanks for watching this retro look back here at OS Reviews. This has been the Motorola QA4 Evoque.